Right, good afternoon. Tell me your full name, please.
Kenneth Turner.
Right. Where were you born, Ken?
Born in Liverpool.
Right. As you know, this is a discussion about Everton fans. So, when did you first become an Evertonian?
Probably in the late 1940s.
Late 1940, so you've supported Everton since then?
Yep.
Yeah. And why Everton?
I always felt comfortable when I went to Goodison. All my family were Liverpudlians, and I used to go to both, but I always felt more comfortable at Goodison Park, so that's the way I went.
Why did you feel comfortable?
I don't know. I've never been able to answer that one properly because I can't really say. I mean, it felt right, and when I used to go to Anfield, I'd go to the Cop, and I always felt uncomfortable.
But you never regretted it.
Not at all.
The right decision.
Absolutely.
Good. Can you remember your first Everton game? Or the era?
Not really, because I used to go to Goodison Park when Liverpool boys played there, and I used to go to youth games and stuff like that. So the first league game, I can't really remember who it was and when it was.
Can you remember who you used to go to the match with?
I used to go with friends, yeah.
Yeah, just my school friends.
School friends and neighbours,
yeah.
Because some of the neighbours' fathers were Evertonians, and we used to follow them, go along with them, yeah.
And do you remember how you used to get there?
Walk, mainly.
Yeah. Did you live fairly local?
Well, not a few miles away, but it was not beyond our walking in those days, yeah.
And walk back.
And walk back, yeah. Yeah. My next-door neighbour's father used to work in Camelard, and he walked there every day and back every day.
Camelard
on the other side of the river, yeah. So walking in those days was not a problem.
No. Do you remember any of your favourite players of the past?
Yeah, absolutely.
Who?
Alex Parker as a full-back in the 1950s, 60s. Bobby Collins was the most popular player.
What was special about Alex?
He was just a very good player, a very fair player and a very good player, technically a very good player.
Do you have a specific reason for mentioning Alex Parker? Maybe you'd like that position yourself?
Well, I did play a little bit of amateur football, but not much. I wasn't that good. But I used to one of his favourite manoeuvres was a sliding tackle. And I used to try and replicate that, but not very successfully, but there you go.
And you just mentioned another Scottish player there, Bobby Collins.
Yeah, absolutely wonderful player. Full of energy. I think he used to energise me watching him.
Yeah. Any other players that you can think of that come
well,
to mind?
Well, they brought a chap from Clyde's A-team, Tommy Ring. I think John Kirby was manager in those days. And he was an exceptional player, very skillful. He's a left winger, very, very skillful. Yeah.
Was he at Everton long, Tommy?
Not really, no. I'm not sure quite how long he was there, but probably two or three seasons. I don't.
What happened to him in the end? Didn't you remember?
I don't know, because Everton bought him when he was playing for Clyde's A team, and we all thought, Clyde's A team. But he turned out to be a super player, really skillful.
Wouldn't happen now.
Excellent player. He went to Chelsea, I think, 1-6-1, and he was scoring a couple of the 6-1 goals, if my memory serves me rightly.
Do you have any current players who you feel are up there with some of the players of the past?
Yeah, Phil Jagielka is Mikel Arteta, which we didn't have. I mean, our foreign players then was Scottish. Mikel Arteta is obviously a fabulous player, could go into most teams. Leighton Baines, the fullback, I think he's an excellent fullback. I think he's the best left back we've had since Ray Wilson. Mm-hmm. I think he's an excellent player.
You just touched on Mikel Arteta there. Do you think the foreign players have really expanded the game, especially for Everton?
I think they have, yeah. I think technically they're very, very good. The technical, I don't know whether the work on their technical skills, the ball control, and always seems, even when you watch European games, that their ball, everybody in the team from full-back to centre-forward always have excellent ball control. And that wasn't always the case in our game.
No. What would you like to see, a full team of foreigners, or do you think...
I'd sooner see a full team. A mix. Probably 60-40, really, if of homegrown to foreigners, you know.
So you think it's important that Everton have an academy?
Oh, absolutely. I think
keep expanding the academy.
It has to be the way forward. The finances in football nowadays, I think, highlights the fact that you have to have a very good academy. If you don't have an academy, you're going nowhere, as far as I can see, financially, unless you've got some benefactor somewhere like Roman Abramovich or somebody like that, or these people who own Manchester City now. That you have to have academies to bring players through.
Okay. So do you think Everton have been fairly successful with their academies then?
I think they have. I mean, you have to look at Wayne Rooney, Jack Rodwell and people like that. And going further back, there was other players we've had representing England from the academy, Tommy Wright and people like that. Mm.
Right. Touching on some of the managers who managed the football club, there have been some great ones and some not so great ones.
Yeah.
Well, who was your favourite particular manager of the past?
Well, standout managers. In the 1950s, it had John Carey, and I particularly liked John Carey because he brought footballing players to Everton, and they played really good football. And when Sir John Moores took him in a taxi in London and sacked him, I was most aggrieved bringing in Harry Kattrick. But John Moores obviously had a large foresight, and he wanted more success, or he could feel that Carey perhaps wasn't going to bring success, although he brought delightful football. And as it proved, Harry Kattrick was an extremely successful manager.
So you think history bore John Moores' decision out then?
Absolutely. I think the way the game's gone now, John Moores was so far-sighted in what he did that it's like everything he did is the foundation of all the games in Europe and all over the world, even.
Yeah. Were there any other things he did for Everton that you can think of?
Well, what John Moores did for Everton?
Yeah.
Well, they got a around the country. They were called the Merseyside Millionaires. Nowadays, it's, you know, they're not, and it's the Chelsea or the Manchester Cities who are the millionaires.
Yeah, hopefully those days will come again.
Well, another Sir John Moores wouldn't go amiss.
So that was Harry Kattrick. He was your favourite manager of the past.
He was a very successful manager, and Howard Kendall was a very successful manager. I liked Howard Kendall as a manager, but to pick one or the other, I think, if you look at what they won, the cups and the trophies, the leagues, there's not a lot to split between them
in that sense.
To say one had a favour, I mean, a manager is always a favourite if they're winning things.
Yeah. So you'd say Harry at the moment?
Harry Kattrick or Howard Kendall, yeah.
Yeah. You said earlier on, Ken, that you can't remember your first game, but
no.
What was your most memorable Everton match?
1966, FA Cup final, Wembley. Absolutely Royal the Rovers stuff. Getting beat 2-0 going into the second half and winning 3-2. Absolutely glorious.
How did you feel about that?
The winning goal scored by Derek Temple was, I think, featured in the top 10 world-class goals then. I felt ecstatic.
What were your feelings from 2-0 down to 3-2 up? How did you feel when they were 2-0 down?
Well, there was a chap who stood next to me, and he said, we're done for, we've had it. And I said to him, listen, it's a 90-minute game, just shut up and let's get on with the game. And at the end of the game, he sort of jumped all over me saying, you said we'd win. I didn't actually say we'd win at all.
Was it all down to you? So that was a wonderful match.
Oh, it's fantastic. I've never had a day out watching Everton like it.
Yeah. Talking about going to the match, I mean, you said you went when you were a schoolboy. How has it changed the match going experience from then to last time you went?
There was no corporate entities in those days. There might have been one or two, which we never got to know about. But it was very much what you might call a working man's game. But nowadays, it's an executive game almost in lots of ways.
Can you remember the prices? Can you remember roughly what you paid when you first went?
I can remember paying 2 shillings to get into the Gladys Street end, in the ground.
Did you ever go in the boys' pen?
Not really, no. Uh-huh. No, I stayed clear of the boys' pen, because sometimes it's a little bit of a battleground.
Yeah. So 2 shillings, that was the stand? That was the sit or stand?
Stand, yeah. But that was probably in the 60s when John Moores was around. We were paying 2 shillings then. Yeah. I mean, one of the amazing things, talking about how football has changed, when you enter the cinema and the football, you say it played the same price. But now one's totally away from the other.
Ever envisaged paying £40 for a ticket?
No.
From 2 shillings to £40 in 40 years or whatever.
I know.
Changed.
I mean, even given inflation and so on, that it's way out of. But there again, everything moves on. And
Can you remember whether they had half-time food and entertainment and?
Well, they used to be the toffee lady who threw sweets into the crowd, but I never indulged in buying food or drink at the ground at all. So it really wouldn't.
Did they used to sell alcohol in that time?
I don't think so, but I don't know. I don't think so, no, I don't think they did. I think that's, I say recent, but it's in the last 20 or 30 years, I would have thought.
And even now, I know smoking embargo. You can't smoke in a football.
Yeah,
now.
Well, that wouldn't...
Never thought of that.
That wouldn't, no, not at all. I mean, if you looked at away from the crowd and the ground on film or whatever, you just saw this whole smoke haze coming away from the ground, didn't you? So in that regard, it's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
Since the evidence of passive smoking and so on.
Absolutely. Now, obviously, the big... Always the talking points... about football in this city as the Merseyside derby. Have you got any memories of them? Or anyone in particular?
Recent memory was 3-0 at Goodison Park when Andy Johnson scored once or twice against Pepe Reina. Yeah, it was quite an interesting one.
Yeah. Wasn't it a period that they didn't play Merseyside derbies because Liverpool were
in the second division about 7 years, yeah.
Did you miss them?
No. Well, they created the Merseyside floodlit cup to breach that gap. So we used to go to those, and it generated the same sort of atmosphere, I suppose, that, as they do now.
Yeah. Does it mean, is it special for when Everton win a Merseyside derby?
To me, it is. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Is that because of an intermix family?
Well, no, I mean, I never used to ram it down their throats. But my younger brother and I now, he sort of goes on about Liverpool as being the end of the world. And I always try to pull him down a little peg or two. But there you go.
Well, it's always nice to win one of those, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Did you get to any away matches in your...
Yeah, we used to go. I've been to Leicester City, Wolverhampton, Burnley, Manchester United, Manchester City, and those sort of ground. Wembley was obviously the best one, but yeah, we used to go to those.
Do you remember going to one on a Boxing Day?
Yes, that was...
do you remember that one?
That was Burnley.
Yeah.
What are your memories
of that one?
Yeah. Well, it was bittersweet, actually, or sweet bitter, because they won on Boxing Day at Burnley, and the next day they played at Goodison, and Burnley won. So it was a bit bittersweet, I suppose.
They had a very good side in those days, Burnley.
Oh, they did. They were one of the first teams in Europe, I think, with Johnny Hancock and Jimmy McElroy and players like that.
Where weren't they champions, Ken, at that particular time? 1960, that would
I think it might have been, because they did get into... I remember seeing them on television playing Red Star Belgrade or Moscow Dynamo, sorry. Yeah. Moscow Dynamo.
They were champions in those days.
Yeah.
Players like Poynter and...
Yeah, Ray Poynter and Jimmy McElroy and people like that, yeah.
Does any particular ground stand out to you? Oh, it's top-class ground.
Well, Wembley, obviously, but... all the ground. I mean, to me, in those days, Goodison Park was one of the best grounds in the country. And when you went to the other grounds, it didn't seem quite as good as Goodison Park. I mean, there was, you know, lots of atmosphere in the old grounds.
What do you think needs doing to Goodison to update it?
Well, it is a bit dated now. And when you sort of go to some of the grounds, I mean, I've been to Bolton, the Reebok Stadium, and just going to the toilets and practices like that, you can see a marked difference now between Goodison Park. But in 66, when they had the World Cup games there, I mean, that was the ground to be in, Goodison Park. So it would be nice to think that someday we could rebuild it or something like that and have a great ground with a great tradition.
Well, that brings me on to the idea of Everton and Liverpool sharing a ground. What are your feelings on that?
Well, right off, I wouldn't like to share a ground with Liverpool, but because the times have changed so much, if it become commercially and economically the only way forward, I think I could accept it in the end.
Yeah, what drawbacks would there be?
I don't
and what see advantages would there be?
Lots of the advantages would be the the economics of the thing. The costs would be halved, and if some of the grounds that do it on the continent, they have all seats of different colours for the different days and stuff like that. So it perhaps it would take a bit of the sting out of the venom of the supporters.
No, the breath on that.
Which wasn't the case years ago. I mean, it was good-humoured stuff, but now it seems a bit too venomous these days.
But that would be 40 matches a season.
You have these grounds where, I mean, the design of the Everton ground, which was the King's Dock thing, had a pitch that you rolled out and rolled in. To sort of improve the state of the pitch. So perhaps if they were going to build a big, it'd have to be top of the league ground with enough capacity to take probably 70,000 people, I would have thought. Yeah. Because on derby days you'd get 70,000 people in there.
Well, that's the other point, is it would it be filled for every sort of home game?
Well, you'd have to use it for other things as well. So,
pop concerts
or... Yeah. Boxing matches all those things. Like the Echo Arena now is doing extremely well because it's extremely well used.
Do you think with it being a joint venture, the council would get involved?
I think they'd have to, I think they'd have to. I mean, the Manchester City Council built the Manchester City Stadium. I mean, why can't that be done here?
Yeah. Well, that was for the Commonwealth Games, wasn't it? That was for a specific
event. Well, it was.
It
was indeed, but it was doable, and they did it. So,
you probably need outside money as well. You probably need more.
Well, of course, European money and stuff like that. But I mean, this is one of the founding homes of the football anyway in the world and in the country. Yeah. So, to me. Spending that much money would be a very good thing.
It seems wrong that the World Cup could be here in 2018 and Liverpool might not be used as a city.
No, which is devastating because in 66 it brought so much to the city and saw so many absolute fabulous matches, even at Goodison Park. The career, it was a career versus Brazil, was an absolute stunning match. And Portugal, because yeah. of Eusebio playing, yeah.
Well, Pelé actually and Pelé played on Goodison Park,
didn't he? Yeah, he did. So he got crocked there as well.
He got injured, yeah, and that was the end of him,
yeah.
Right. So, with maybe new stadiums required, more money coming into the game, more sponsorships, do you think it has become too commercial now, football?
Well, it's extremely commercial, and I think the structure of the game now, you know, the genie's out of the bottle, I think, and I don't think you could take it back to what it used to be. I think it has to be commercial or it won't survive. If it survived, the facilities getting built around the country, or the new stadium, they couldn't support those facilities, I don't think, with just no, you know, wage cap to such an extent like it used to be, that they just couldn't, because it wouldn't be.
Yeah, but don't you think
it wouldn't be telly?
There's that much money coming into the game, but do you think too much goes to the players? And how would you stop that?
I think in some respect it's obscene when it comes to the players. Yeah. I think it's obscene. I mean, when you think of sort of £90,000 a week.
At least, yeah.
You know, it's just...
But it's supply and demand, Ken. How would you stop that? How would you stop the top players
the public get turned off and they stopped supporting Sky and such ESPNs and all those people, then the ESPN and Sky would just pack up bags and run, I suppose. Yeah, so that would the decline in football has happened before. I think in the 1970s it lost its glamour, and to a certain extent, and it went down. Then
what happened then? Did the gates drop?
The gates dropped, yeah. I forget the specific reason for it, but for some reason something else happened and it kicked off and the interest rose again and it went on to where it is now.
Well, Sky think football started in 1992, don't they? That's when they there's no football before then. Premier League, and that's it. How many Premier Leagues
The Everton collection to realise where football started and how long ago it was. And
we've had just a little wonder around it, bit of the collection. What did you think about what you've seen?
Oh, it's absolute. And David France deserves a knighthood for collecting all that, because it's the most painstaking collection of stuff I've ever seen. It's just absolutely
wonderful,
amazing. Yeah, absolutely fabulous.
When do you think they got more or less every home programme since the start of football?
Just finding them has been, you know, a needle in haste now, I thought. You know.
Some tremendous stuff in there, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the commercial aspect, inevitable. Nothing you can do about
no,
it.
No, I think it's been
a juggernaut to roll on.
Yeah, it's been foisted upon us and you can't do much about it.
Has the game itself improved, though, because of it?
I think so. I think it's gone much quicker. The foreign players coming in has made it quite skillful. It's become much quicker. I wonder whether the injuries you get now in the game is as a result of how quick it's gone. Because in the old days, when Liverpool had their 20 or 30 year run, some of the seasons they got by with 14 players. You just couldn't do that now. You're just unheard of now.
No. So do you think there's too much football?
It could be said that, yeah. My wife thinks there is, yeah.
When it's certain players like Cahill, for instance, who have to travel halfway around the world to play
a game of football. I don't know how Tim does it, because there's been seasons where he's hardly had a month off.
No.
As he's been over to Australia, around the world, back home, and he never seems to diminish his enthusiasm for playing. Yeah. It's a tremendous asset in that way.
And the latest Russian player of all, called Billy.
Billy
Lechtenov.
He hasn't had a break. No, I think Billy Lechtenov's season is going to be next season. I think you're going to see if the promise that he showed when he first came would be realised next season. I would have thought after he's had a rest and he's got pre-season under his belt and all of that, I think you're going to see the best of him then.
Yeah. I can. It's been very interesting to it. It's very enjoyable. Is there anything else you'd like to embellish or any facts about that?
Any facts?
Something that you'd enjoyed or a certain game that maybe somebody else didn't, or amusing incidents?
Well, you can always, I suppose you can always say that, but one of the things which has been very personal to me is that I've got four children, and my eldest was born in 1963, and that's when Everton won the league. My son was born in 1966, and Everton won the FA Cup. And I've got twin daughters born in 1970 when they won the league. So,
where did you stop, Ken?
Economics.
Well, thanks very much. It was very enjoyable.
That's okay. Okay, it's fine.
Are you switching off?
Is there an off switch there?
You said press it again, didn't you? Is it going off?
You just switch the power off if you wanted to.
It's not, is it still recording? That's the thing, really. I don't know.
Don't know.
I pressed it in. Just take that off,
yeah.
It's not recording now, anyway.
Still got some power.
Take it off.
It's all right, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
yeah. Good,
that's all right.
I'll put your stuff off, and I'll cook. I'm doing it myself.
Yeah, I'm just going to fill that form in now.
Do you want me to do it, or you can
do it? Sure, yeah.
Just, you have to sign it, don't you?
I'll just go to the loo while you do that.
Okay. Yeah, can you fill all your
right
address and all that postcodes? How long do you reckon that was? Half an hour?
Well, we started at probably just before 2, so it's probably half an hour, yeah. Good half an hour, 35 minutes.
Seen
well, it's only that. Yeah. Bloody hell, some of these chat programs when you come. Yeah. You get a person on there and go 15 minutes, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, you went through all the questions, didn't you?
Yeah. Anything you do need that. You do need to be.
Oh, you do, yeah. Yeah. Crib sheet, yeah.
Yeah. Did I go and tell them already what you're doing now?
Yeah. Just like to hear it, just to make sure it's done.
What?
Just like to hear the call, just to make sure it's done. He's coming, is he?
I just saw the reception fellas are ringing me. Okay. Mm. Yeah, I thought it was long enough.
Oh yeah, I would have got boring if you kept going.
Yeah, you can't go on
for
hours
and
hours, can you?
That might be one of the things, mightn't it?
Got
who wants this now?
You'll take that.
He will.
Yeah. Oh, all that is, can you just give me your permission to use that on your recording?
Yeah. So, as long as somebody doesn't get £500,000.
Interesting, when it goes on the website, click onto the...
The charitable trust website.
Yeah. You just go onto the official website, the Everton.
Yeah.
And it's got a search bar on the top.
Yeah.
Just type in Everton Collection.
Oh right.
And then and if you click the volunteer, click on the volunteers bit. There's a picture of me being interviewed by this other fellow in the train.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Did he know you're going to be still here?
Who?
The guy who's... What's his name?
Max.
Yeah.
Max Dunbar.
Because I thought he
said he'd come down, man.
Could have got it totally wrong, but I thought when you go out, see the girl on reception and tell her, I'll come down.
Yeah.
Come down to here.
I thought he might come to here, yeah. Oh, that's only 10 yards away.
Is it?
Yeah. I told the guy there would be any open room.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Right. Oh, Max.
How
are you? Well, we did okay, yeah. Are you going to listen to it back or some of it?
Do you want to just make sure it's recorded?
Yeah, it is. You were worried, didn't you? It's still...